Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from your sister churches throughout the Western Conference. 30 churches, 2 camps, and a college in 4 states. 8,700 worshipers gathering this morning, lifting God up just as you are. You are not alone. We are better together. And thanks for putting up with this Columbus guy as he gets to come here. Some of you have known me as Pastor Jay. Some of you have known me as soccer referee. Other people here have known me as basketball coach. Now I'm superintendent, which, by the way, is the lowest job of them all. I'm your brother in Jesus Christ. And I bring to you a message today God placed on my heart. My wife has not heard this message before, so I'm really happy for her about that. It is quite special that Lisa is here today with me. And so I'm grateful she's here, and I know you are as well, because you guys are like a family to us. I recognize so many faces. It's such a blessing to be here today. 46 Sundays last year, I was in one of our churches. And everywhere I'm going, people are asking me, so what are you seeing out there? I have 4 things that I'm seeing that I want to share with you just to introduce today. First of all, I'm seeing that we have more people connected to the life of our churches than at any time in our history. More people connected to the life of our churches. But attendance is declining precipitously, like off a ledge. The average church attender in the Western Conference today, I estimate, attends 1.7 times a month. So Pastor Brian could have a slam dunk 4 or 5 part sermon series, and most people will be there less than half time. It's quite a challenge for us pastors. I am noticing that 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings is no longer a sacred hour. In fact, I heard somebody in the NFL this year brag that the NFL was bigger than God on Sundays. And I thought, uh-oh, that spells trouble. I have noticed that when children get to about the age of 16 in our churches, their families have an intense struggle on their involvement in youth group and church and those type of decisions that will be made by kids. By far, our largest youth groups across the conference are junior high youth groups. High school youth groups are facing major challenges. I have a friend who did a doctoral study on 4 things that sustain local churches. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's got to be prayer, it's got to be preaching. And nope, didn't even meet his radar for his doctoral work. 4 things sustaining local churches, for sustainability of your local church. Number 1 listed, children. Children up to grade 5. Number 2 listed, youth from grades 6 to 12. Number 3 is what we call family within a family. Other people call them small groups, home groups, Bible studies, Sunday school. But sustainability of your church dictates that you cannot only meet for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. There's got to be connections outside that hour where you, like iron, spur one another on and sharpen each other and go in the word deeper and all those kind of things. So number 3 was family within a family. Number 4 is what happens right here, right now. But again, it wasn't about his preaching or my half as good as him preaching. It was about worship, connections, your preparation beforehand of coming to church, and those kind of issues are vital in the sustainability of the local church. Isn't that interesting? Fascinating as I travel around. I just have 1 word to cover this morning with you. It's a word I hope you think about all week long. I'm about ready to rock some of your preconceived, biased opinions of what it is to be a Christian. That one word is believe. There's a story in the Bible of the missionaries, Paul and Silas, going from town to town to town. And as they came into one town, there was a younger gal who had been involved in the dark arts. She was able to tell the future and do different things, not from God's power. And her owners, because she was a slave to them, her owners got money off her telling other people what was about ready to happen. And she followed Paul and Silas around and said at the top of her lungs, "These men will tell you how to be saved." And day after day, incessantly in their ear, yelling this out to all the people around them. And Paul finally got fed up and he just cast the demon out of her. Really cool. But her slave owners weren't real happy because their source of income was about ready to evaporate. And so they complained to the town people, who then turned them in, and they arrested Paul and Silas. They took them in front of the officials, and the scripture says they beat them with rods first. I don't know what that looked like. They beat them with rods. And then they flogged them. And then they put them inside the prison, in the inner part of the prison, and shackled their feet and legs with whatever they shackled them with. That's kind of a bad day. Nearing midnight, Paul and Silas were found to be in their inner prison cell, thanking God and singing hymns of praise. They're a lot tougher than I am. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake. A Yellowstone Park is going off type of earthquake, rocking everything around them to the point where the shackles fell off their legs and the prison doors all opened up and they could see probably a way out if they would have wanted to escape. During the earthquake, the prison head guy, president of the prison, I don't know what you want to call him, he realizes what is happening, and he knows that if prisoners escape, it is his life. So he decides to take his own life before the officials can take it from him, and he gets out a sword. Paul sees him getting out a sword, and Paul yells, "Don't do it. Don't do it. We're all here." And prison guy puts the sword down, comes up to Paul and Silas, and says this most amazing question: "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul answers, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your whole household." There it is. Believe. It's estimated, depending which study I read, that 80 to 90% of America says they believe. 80 to 90%. Do they really? I'm not the judge. Sure doesn't appear, though. 91% of our current United States legislature says they believe. 91%. That's actually down 4 percentage points over the last legislative session. 91% supposedly believe. Do they? I don't know. I'm not the judge. But if you were to ask me what believe is, I would have a different answer for you today than 15 years ago when I became a pastor. You see, because I saw the sign at football games behind the goalpost. Those people that have a ministry who If you look at football on television, you'll see him. You'll see him next Sunday in the Super Bowl. People behind the goalposts when they're getting ready to kick that extra point or the field goal, people holding up a sign like this. It's a ministry. Look for it next week. How many have seen this before? Most quoted scripture in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I've heard of people who believe in mermaids, people who believe in the stock market, people who believe in Santa Claus, people who believe in, and it just goes on and on and on and on. There can't be the same meaning for that type of belief as there is for John 3:16, believe. I'm not a scholar. I'm really not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. My elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. But I do have a mentor who I've been meeting with for 20-some years. And my mentor said, believe, pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, I can't even pronounce it. Greek for believe, pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, is mentioned in the Bible 300 times. There's other beliefs. But when pistuo is mentioned, it's a very clear meaning that to the people of that day would have had a deeper depth to what it meant than to what Americans have today. It says, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Pistuo. Cool. What does it mean? Well, it's five things. Some of you will write this down. Others of you will remember some of them. I'm going to use some props. But in the Greek, when believe was mentioned, it meant these five things: surrender to, trust in, rely on, cling to, and follow. Do you believe? Surrender to, trust in, rely on, cling to, and follow. There's no way 80 to 90% of America believes. Because we don't surrender to anybody. We don't submit to any authority in our life. Our truth is our truth. We don't submit to the Bible's authority, to the authority of Jesus Christ. Surrender to literally is a bend the knee to. That we can no longer be the boss of our life. Perhaps Campus Crusade for Christ did it best when in their little brochures that were famous across the land called the Four Spiritual Laws. How many have heard of that before? The Four Spiritual Laws put in it a throne. This throne is not really a throne. It's actually Pastor Brian's chair from his office that I had someone bring in here without him knowing it. But very good. That fits it wonderfully because Campus Crusade for Christ, in their brochure, had a picture of a throne, and they said to all who believed, they would give up the position of being able to sit on the throne of your own life. In fact, anybody who was doing this on the throne of their own life had not truly believed. Because to truly believe, you have to surrender and you give up authority, you give up rights, you give up being the boss, and Jesus sits on the throne of your life. And because of that surrender, you think differently, you spend differently, you act and talk differently, you marry differently, you do all these different types of things because you're surrendering to the authority of Jesus Christ and you are not in charge anymore. You have given up and surrendered that authority in your life. Pretty good, vivid example. Do you believe? Then it says, trust in. Another name for trust, more common in our circles today, is the word faith. For it is by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. Okay. It's not something you can earn for yourself. It's God's amazing grace, but it does require a high modicum of faith. Faith. We put faith in our good looks. We put faith in our salary, in our bank account, in our intellect. It's not the type of faith that a person who believes does. A person who believes puts their trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone. He's the only one who can save us. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. I'm learning, though, that faith is a muscle that has to be exercised. You have to practice. I stood up in front of you a year ago, told you about the struggles my wife and I were going through in our family. And I have discovered that my faith is stronger because of the struggle and because I had to practice the faith. My faith has grown the least in times of goodness, sunshine, and Blue Bunny ice cream. And I bet yours has too. But I stand up here today and I implore you to keep the faith. Keep believing. Keep believing. Surrender to. Trust in. And rely on. When I was athletic director at Rocky Mountain College, we brought in a guy you might have heard of to be our graduation speaker. His name was Ted Turner. At that time, Jane Fonda was with him. She came as well. Ted Turner decided to kick off his graduation speech in front of thousands of people in our gymnasium at Rocky with this phrase: religion is a crutch for the weak. I was flabbergasted. I honestly hoped lightning would strike from heaven. It didn't, but I've never forgot what he said. If believe in the original language truly means rely on, then I need me one of these. I can't make it without Jesus Christ. Call me weak. I am. But when I am weak, he is strong. And to rely on him in those times of struggle that continue in our family life actually got worse. We rely on him and his hope and his provision and his peace, his goodness, and remind ourselves day after day after day that we do need him. One of my favorite songs lately has been the song, I Need You. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I do need him. A sign of belief is reliance. And when times come, we'll rely on something. My hope is that it is in Jesus Christ. Surrender to, trust in, rely on, and cling to. Cling to. As Scripture says, storms are coming, folks. You're either coming out of a storm, resting from your last storm, or going into a storm. But storms are coming. In fact, Scripture says it's going to get harder and harder and harder. But when I think of cling to, I think of my two little kids when they were knee-high to a grasshopper. And we had this little thing that I will never forget. I would ask them, stand up, come over here and face me. Then I'd turn them around again and turn them around, and then I'd sit them on my feet as they faced into my legs. And I said, now hold on. And with everything they had, they wrapped their legs around me and their arms around my lower leg. And I'd walk around the living room like this. And we'd just giggle and laugh and love. And it's the example of what we're supposed to do with Jesus Christ when the trials come into every one of our lives. Hold on. There's only one thing that can't be shaken, and it's Him. To believe is to cling to. And to believe also is to follow. Not be a fan of Jesus. Not be a liker of Jesus. But to actually be a follower of Jesus. Do you know that's what Christian means? It means Christ follower. And my mentor says to me, you can't follow unless you obey. It's not about the rules. Everything that He sets in place is for our own good. But to follow Jesus Christ brings a level to believe that just raises the bar like nothing else. Do you believe? Go ahead and bow your heads, please, at this time. Nobody looking around. Is there anybody here today who needed to hear this? Thank you. Thank you. This was a good day for you to be in God's house, and He has met you right where you're at, and He's not going to leave you there. He has better for you, and He wants you to walk from here following Him. As every head is bowed and all eyes are closed, is there anybody here today who for the first time would like to become a Christian and say, I believe? If so, you're agreeing to surrender to Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him. Rely on Him and cling to Him. And follow Him all the days of your life. If you would like to do that today, would you simply somehow let me know at this time? You could look up. You could raise a hand. Is there anybody today who would like to believe? Thank you. Thank you. So I will not point these folks out. They're having a conversation with God right where they're at, asking for God to come in and to save them through His Son, Jesus Christ. With them, I am asking that everybody would pray a prayer with me. Simply repeat after me with them. Dear God, we need you. Please save me from my sins. I know I have fallen short. But today I put my trust in you. I repent, and I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I am always so humbled when people turn their hearts to Jesus. This was an incredibly powerful kingdom day. And I thank God for it. Those people that have put their faith in Him, I want you to find someone in your life who you trust and tell them what you decided to give to Jesus today. Just tell them what you did. Someone you can trust. Could be your pastor, could be somebody in this church, could be somebody else. Just tell them of the decision you made. And I'm positive those people will point you in next step directions. If you don't have a Bible, they'll get you one. This church will get you a Bible. They'll probably open it up to the book of John, where the word believe is listed over 80 times, pistuo. 80 times in the book of John alone. And then continue to obey and do what God says to do as you follow after Him. And this church can certainly help. Let's stand. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.